Listen to this in the Boston Globe, an op-ed by Evanston's Liz Shulman. It's not cheating because no one else wrote it. One of my ninth grade students told me last May he had used ChatGPT, the AI writing tool, to compose his final essay for our freshman English class. When I explained that he'd plagiarized because the words did not convey his own ideas, he shrugged, quote, "But a robot can do it for me in seconds," he said. She writes, "I've been teaching high school English for 20 years, and I'm used to excuses. My favorite was a student who told me the cloud ate his homework." Though I later learned he'd borrowed that quip from a New Yorker cartoon. When I read that, Liz, I thought maybe you should take some consolation that at least one of your students is reading the New Yorker.
That's exactly what I thought.
Liz Shulman is an English teacher at Evanston Township High School, but she's also in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern, has visited with us several times on what it's like to teach these days when kids have distracting smartphones in their hands. Mostly we've talked about smartphones. I suppose their laptops or tablets can be a distraction. So the kids are going back to school, and I didn't realize that you would already be running into this in a high school classroom, Liz.
With the ChatGPT in particular?
Yeah.
I mean, it started happening last spring. I mean, the thing about when it happened last year was that by the time ChatGPT came out, I already knew my students really well, so I was able to pick up on it almost immediately if they had used it. I'm just getting to know them. This is the end of our first week. So it's, you know, it's a little trickier now, but we're having a lot of conversations about it.
So they're aware of it? They have access to it? Some of them do access it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they use it on, they use a website, there's an app. I was surprised. I mean, I thought that the 12th graders would know, but it seems that most of my 9th graders have already heard about it as well.
Walk me through how, I mean, I know this is still relatively new phenomenon. You evidently ran into it last year. Can you just walk me through a little bit how it would go from your assignment to them turning it in? What happens?
Yeah, so they would take the prompt for our class, and they would plug it into ChatGPT, and then it would spit out for them, you know, whatever it is, an essay, answers to questions, you know, whatever it is that we're working on, and it does it immediately. And that's one of the ways that we can see it, because if they're using, we use Google Docs. And so you can see, like, you know, 2 seconds ago, the document was blank. And then 5 seconds later, it has a full essay. You know, you can kind of track the history. It just creates an enormous amount of work. It's just something else that we have to, you know, kind of monitor and keep track of in the classroom.
Well, couldn't a student do it on their own computer at home and kind of get around the school system that way?
Yeah, 100% they can. And so our school is, I mean, we're in the process now of coming up with a policy, but it is very, very tricky because they can do it at home. And so, you know, some of us are trying to do more writing in the classroom so that they can't do it. But it's really tricky.
What, well, here we go again. What do the parents say? I wonder if the parents would go, "You are cheating yourself, kid, out of a learning experience here."
Yeah, I mean, I haven't met the parents yet, but it's definitely something that I've emailed home and something that we will be talking about at, you know, when I do meet them, the open house and parent-teacher conferences, to try to get them to help partner with us teachers about that.
That description that I read at the beginning of this sounds almost apocryphal, like, yeah, that's how it would go, but it didn't really happen. Did the kid really say it's not cheating because no one else wrote it? Was that really the thrust of his argument?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what he said. And so we needed to have a conversation that actually somebody else did write it. It, you know, because ChatGPT is pulling from everything that everybody else has ever written online and mimicking it. And so it actually is coming from of other sources, even though it, you know, is being presented as a robot.
It would seem to me like the argument isn't so much did somebody else write it, is as did you write it? I don't care if a computer wrote it or William Shakespeare wrote it. You needed to have written this. You did not originate these sentences. That's the problem, right?
That is exactly the problem, and that's the kinds of, now that we're the first week, we're back, this is the time to be setting standards for the year, and I've been having a lot of conversations about, you know, it might seem like it does make it easier for you, but it is actually robbing you of your ability to think critically, and that is why you are in school, and that it is, you know, I really look at it, it's a human right to use your imagination, to develop your own opinions about things. You know, this is the time that they need to do it, and that's what I'm trying to get across. It's just one more thing that teachers have to kind of, you know, deal with now.
It's almost not as though you have to justify what we're doing here, but almost explain it, where in the past, I think we took it for granted. I go to school, I don't want to learn English or French or history or whatever, but I'm going to do it because that's what we do. But now you have to explain almost the rationale for it, because they can hack around it and not maybe even have a care about what they're missing. And I know that's the perspective of an adult here. Hey, kids, you got to eat your vegetables and learn so you'll grow up to be responsible citizens. But really, that's true. And it's a shame that, or it's maybe complicated, that you have to sort of make that argument to them now.
Yeah, you do very, very much. You're absolutely right. We need to explain why school matters. And I think that changed so much in the pandemic, because that was the real shift to everything being on screen. I mean, my ninth graders told me yesterday that they were in lockdown in fifth grade, and that ever since they have, you know, everything that they've been doing is on screens, and they kind of have gotten these messages that school doesn't matter, that they can kind of do this stuff online, and you're absolutely right. We have to try to justify and explain that school matters more than anything.
Should people have to memorize multiplication tables off the top of my head? Should I know what 12 times 12 is?
Well, I'm not a math teacher, but I think so.
Maybe not. I mean, really, why do I have to memorize multiplication tables when I can just take out a device? Why do I have to learn how to spell, since it'll autocorrect, or I can Google the correct spelling? I could see how you could make the argument, and you could also defeat this argument, but you understand what I'm doing here, that there are instances where the machines that we have available to us make some of these things that we used to have to do virtually unnecessary. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that it's a scary time, because I think what you're talking about is, you know, developing a process for thinking through things, whether it's math problems or, you know, multiplication tables, or you know, thinking through ideas in an English classroom. I mean, that's the whole process of thinking and problem solving and these skills that will be so important for them as they become adults. And I think that they're getting a mixed message about ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence, because there are jobs that are now demanding that you are familiar with ChatGPT. So on the one hand, they need to kind of, they're being told by everybody that they need to know how to use it. And then those of us in English classrooms are trying to teach them to think critically for themselves. And I think it's got to be extremely confusing for them.
If you put this poster up, what would your reaction be? What would their reaction be? A big poster in the middle of your classroom. ChatGPT is cheating. If I caught you stealing answers off your classmate or doing something that was patently, obviously wrong, you would understand that. I wonder if you can convey that message, or if you even agree with that. ChatGPT is cheating.
I do, and I have told them that. I mean, I just walked them through that yesterday in my agenda. I said that using ChatGPT is plagiarism. It is academic dishonesty. Now, there are some teachers who are saying, you know, this is not going away. We need to learn how to use it. Let's use it as a tool. It was one of the things I wrote about in the Boston Globe op-ed, that I was kind of getting tired of so many people who are not educators telling educators to use it as a tool, because it was not designed for school. So yes, on the one hand, they might need to know, but not when they're learning how they feel about the world and developing their mind and their ability to problem solve. So I agree with you. I think it is cheating.
You wrote, ChatGPT was not designed for schools. We're taking for granted students' ability to discern when and when not to use it. Today, an outline. Tomorrow, a final essay. Liz Shulman is an English teacher at Evanston Township High School. She's over at Northwestern University, too, and she's got a book coming out. We'll talk more about that another day. But in the meantime, here's what she wrote in the Boston Globe in an op-ed. ChatGPT eliminates the symbiotic relationship between thinking and writing. She said, isn't innovation the engine for the 21st century economy? I love this paragraph, which I'm willing to bet she wrote. You can sense the aliveness in the classroom when students use their imagination and generate their own ideas. Their eyes become warm. They're not afraid to make mistakes, to shape and reshape their ideas. The energy shifts. I've seen it happen in their discussions and with stages of the writing process, from brainstorming to drafts to silly stories to final essays. They're more invested in arguing their points because they've thought of them themselves. Boy, amen to that. Amen to that. What are the instances where you would argue for, or are there any, Liz, for using ChatGPT?
I really could not justify using it in my class. I know that there are some educators who feel like, you know, you could have students use it to generate, like pump in the essay prompt and then see what comes out and then compare it with an essay that they wrote. I think it's dangerous at this point when students are still developing, you know, what they think about things and their place in the world and how they feel about things and using their own problem-solving skills and imagination. I could see maybe with like maybe a creative writing assignment where you have them compare, but you need to know how to fly the plane right side up before you fly it upside down. And so I think it's very dangerous to make assumptions that they would understand the difference at this point.
Maybe that's what this listener is writing about. 224 says, John, do you really want someone to work on your car if they can't spell, read, or do math? I don't think I said that, but I'll take your point. Good morning, John. On the day the machines crash, the younger people of today will be grateful to have some knowledge. And one more, 608 said, before everyone calls in and talks about how lazy and terrible students are today, my workplace is having a similar discussion about using ChatGPT and whether people being sent messages written by ChatGPT need to be told that it was written by ChatGPT, and I work for a hospital. We were reading an article on the radio the other day, and at the end it said this article was written by ChatGPT with human oversight, but it was an informative article. It was like the 6 points to doing something, you know, how to best tie a shoe or something like that. I thought it was a bullet point, like paragraph, paragraph, paragraph thing. Okay, there it was. Thank you, Pete. It was movies that are coming out. It was like, here's the new movies coming out August and little boiler point snapshots of them. A couple of details, detail, detail. It's the sort of work that you wouldn't want to write if you were a writer. But if you just said, ask the robot to search the internet and come up with that. And then at the bottom in fine print, it says a human being didn't do this. Liz, you listening to all of this? What are your thoughts about these things?
Yeah, I think it's a slippery slope. You know, is that if that continues, will that replace jobs? Could that be a job for somebody who was starting out, you know, with a writing career, moving on to more complex, you know, articles that person would write? I mean, I think we're living in these times that are scary because it's not going to go away, and I think. You know, I think we need to think very critically about how, you know, how we're going to handle it.
But you're not, you know, I think I'm positioning you as anti-computer, anti-ChatGPT or AI. I don't know that you're that necessarily, but you're just arguing that it's robbing the kids if they use it to write their essays or do their homework, right?
Yeah, and I think that there is this rhetoric among educators that if we complain about it, that we're somehow seen as anti-tech. I mean, we're not anti-tech. We're using a million education software apps all the time. You know, we are tethered to Google Classroom. You know, everything is Google in these classrooms in the U.S. now, all over the world. You know, we're using tech all the time. But is it, you know, how do we use it? Are we using it in a way to help students continue to develop their own minds, or are we going to use it that, you know, it's going to replace it? I think those are the conversations I think we need to be having.
Well, especially at that impressionable age where they're actually learning. Mm-hmm. Like if you have the skills, but you want to use a shortcut, fine. But let's make sure you have the skills. I'm with you, concerned that maybe they'll never get the basics. Chris, what did you want to say? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, thanks. I think Liz brings up some great points. I work for a big tech company here in Chicago, and I would say the beauty of ChatGPT is we're replacing a lot of time spent in enabling our sales and technical people with the ability for the person who's using it to look at, is this written the right way for maybe a sales script or an email script? But having been a former board member here in the northern suburbs, I totally agree with what Liz is saying. From, you know, technology is there to enable us, not replace us. So I think her point is right on, but we do need to talk more about it.
What do you say, Liz?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really don't have experience about it in the workplace with adults. I mean, I'm really focusing on how it's affecting teens and the teenage brain, which has already changed drastically over the last few years because of screen culture.
Yeah, which is where we first met you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, last year you were just telling us about your concerns about kids using their phones in the classroom as either aids or distractions. Now you've got a whole new bank of software. I guess you've got those same issues with the distraction of the smartphone in their hand or backpack anyway, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, it's just the first week, so this is the week where we're, you know, again, trying to have conversations that, you know, they deserve to have a break from the very thing that is causing a lot of anxiety and depression, the thing that is changing the chemistry in their brain, that they deserve to get off of it for a while and have the classroom be a space where they can develop themselves.
What's the next assignment you're going to give the kids where this is going to be a threat or challenge to them?
We'll be doing a research project in a couple weeks about they'll get to decide what they think matters most to teenagers in 2023. It's always interesting to see what they come up with.
Well, if they're writing about ChatGPT, hopefully they won't use ChatGPT.
That's right.
Hey, Liz, stay in touch. I know you've got some projects in the works that I want to talk about when it comes out. And in the meantime, have a great year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How about the students that get to sit in Liz Schulman's class? English teacher, Evanston Township High School. She's also at Northwestern University on the School of Education and Social Policy.